I didn't smack you on the head because I was mad. I smacked you because I loved you. You think I smacked people I didn't love?
Hey, I've been smacked by you.
Yeah, sure you have.
Teenager, yeah.
Yeah, man. I used to do a lot of that smacking. Until a Green Beret grabbed me one day while he was preaching. And he shook me like I was a paper doll. And I stopped a lot of that. Amen. Now, if you would have hit me, it'd been the last time I'd hit anybody. Let me say what a joy. I enjoyed that preaching, by the way, Brother Carter. And you Ellis brothers, you all did a great job preaching. But I don't know which one's which. But man alive, that was good preaching. And I've got about 5 messages to take home that I can preach at my church because you all don't come to Yankee land. Because y'all don't like Yankees. So I go up there and preach that stuff and appreciate every bit of it. Hallelujah. And let me say this. We have a midnight cry every year in January. We start at 6:30 and we go to midnight with nothing but singing. And we have Andy Lethwich and Travis Alltop and Jim Britton. And then we have Sound Doctrine and we have the Rochesters. But I'm telling you what, you Ellis kids, you could do the whole midnight cry yourself. There's so many of you. Every time somebody got up singing, I said, who's this? Ellis's. Next group got up, well, who's this? The Ellis's. I thought, my goodness. Is there any more? We got some more even? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. I've been, you don't have to worry about the time with me. Because... I'm right before lunch, and every time I swallow, my stomach says, thank you. And so I'm hungry right now. Amen. And, you know, 45 years of in the ministry and to hearing these young men to know that, God, there are young men that are carrying it on and preaching it. Man, I tell you, it's a blessing to know that. And sometimes you do feel like you're all alone and you're the only one doing it. Then you get out a meeting like this and God says, man, I've got 5,000 here. I've got 5,000 here. He's just got them everywhere. But in my 45 years, I have heard all kinds of preaching. I've heard preaching against anything you could imagine against. I have heard it. But I had never heard anybody preach on cotton picking. That was a first for me. Cotton picking. Now you say, you going to preach that at home? No. I heard it. And I said, I don't know if I get it. But it's a cotton picking good message, Brother Coley. Isaiah chapter 41, please. I'll be done here in just a second. I appreciate the opportunity to come down here in the South. And it's good to have some Yankees here with me. Amen. Yeah. Not all Southerners. Some of you were born in the North. You just won't admit it. Yeah. See, you come down here because the weather's nice. But you was up there because the money was good. Say amen right there. Isaiah chapter 41, verse... I have 41 verse 0. I don't think that's the right... That ain't the right one. It's verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In the book of Hebrews, you don't need to turn there, but there's a phrase in there that says, let us go on. I want to preach for a little bit on this thought. I think I'll just go on anyway. Yeah. Amen. Just go on anyway. You ever thought about quitting?
Amen.
If you hadn't, you will.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. The devil will come attack you. Amen. You'll preach something, preachers, and no one will respond and someone will get mad. You're wondering what in the world are you doing, and you'll thank God that you leave me to preach that. And I preached the message one time and no one came forward and it was a dud. I'm just telling you, it was a dud message. And I got done preaching it and I went right back to my office. I knelt down at my desk. I said, that was terrible. Why did you leave me to preach on that? I said, I'll never preach on that again. It was a waste of everybody's time. I walked back out. I was mad. I said, I was ticked off. I walked back out to the front, and there's a lady standing there. I said, what do you want? She said, Brother Herman, I just want to tell you that message was just for me. I went back in my office. I got down on my knee. I said, oh, God, forgive me for being so stupid. Amen. If you had it for one person, it was worth preaching it. Amen. There's a lot of people thought about giving up, throwing in the towel. That phrase, throwing in the towel, is a boxing term. Because when the man got wore out, the boxer couldn't go any longer. Amen. The head dude over there would throw in the towel. That means the fight is over. Amen. But I'm glad we don't need to throw in the towel. You know, there's been times I've tried to throw in the towel. There's been times I've got it and I've tried to throw it. But every time I throw it, it wouldn't let go. It just kept holding on. And I'm glad, amen, I hadn't quit. I'm glad, amen, I've stayed with it. For 45 years I've hung in there. In the good times, in the bad times. When we was on the mountain, we was in the valley. Amen, the word let us go on means it's forward. It's toward. It's not away from. It's press. That word press is an active sense. I mean, you're actively going forward. It's not passive. I can't stand passive stuff anyway. Amen. I like it when it's on. Hallelujah. It's upward. It's not downward. There's a lot of things that might try to keep you from going on. But he said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Amen. Amen. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I think I'll just go on anyway. Hey, in spite of trouble, and we heard that this morning, trouble. I thought these guys were all over my message. And I said, Lord, there was another one I thought I was supposed to preach. And then God settled it with me this morning. This was the one. And so when they started doing all that, I said, I picked up the wrong one. I need to go back to the motel. God said, just shut up. They're going to need this morning. Amen. In spite of trouble. The Bible says, and someone quoted it, the man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You're going to face troubles in your life. But you got to make up your mind when you face troubles, you're just going to go on anyway. The Bible says, for we wrestle not, among flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My fight today is not with you. Oh, there's a lot of Baptists need to get a hold of that. There's a lot of Baptist preachers, independent Baptist preachers, that need to get a hold of that. You are not my enemy. Now, you might have thought I was yours the other night when I went like that, but you are not the enemy. Brother, you are not my enemy. You are my friend. You are my friend, brother. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care if you're yellow. I don't care if you're black, brown, or green. If you're saved, this is my friend here. Amen. We live close to each other. There's no competition between us. Amen. He has his ministry. I have my ministry. He has meetings. We go. We have meetings. He comes. And he calls me every year and says, I'm booking a meeting. I want to make sure it's not the same time yours is. Isn't that a blessing? Some preachers would just book over it. Amen. So they couldn't come to your meeting. I thank God that you're not, you preachers and you brothers and sisters are not the enemy. Our enemy is the devil. Principalities and powers. I promise you, in the race that God has put you in, there is going to be problems. There is going to be troubles. We have trouble with jealousy. That's a real problem in the Baptist church. Amen. We have trouble with bitterness. Someone hurts you, and you get bitter. And you stay bitter your whole blessed life. You know what you are? You're a thumb-sucking baby. Get over it. You say, preacher, in the 45 years of your ministry, you ever been hurt? Are you kidding me? My land, you can't pastor people without getting hurt. Brother Lanny Hasbrook, who's dead in his heaven now, years ago, he told me, he said, I want you to know, preacher, you're starting out here. I want you to know that ministry is three things. Man, I got my paper out, my pen out. I'm going to write this down. All right, Brother Hasbrook, what is the ministry? He said, you got us at number one, people. I said, all right, people. Number two, Brumman, people. People. Number three, preacher, people. That's what the ministry is. It's people. If people can get you upset, if people can get you mad, if people can get you out of the ministry, if people can get you bitter, you are going to be bitter. But thanks be to God, we don't have to be bitter. Thanks be to God. I have a rule. I have a rule that I have when someone does me wrong. I have a rule. I just consider the case. Consider that they're an idiot. And they don't know no better. They're retarded, as we used to be able to say. You can't, this is on the internet. I'm in trouble again. What's that lawyer's number? Amen. I tell you what, they're stupid. Just forget it. Don't get bitter. We have trouble with our workplace. Some of you that work out in the world, you have trouble with it. You tell them your views about politics. Guess what you're going to have? You're going to have trouble. Tell them you don't approve of the vaccine. You're going to have trouble because they've done taking it. And they think you're an idiot for not taking it. Oh, time will tell, ladies and gentlemen. Time will tell. Let me say, you can't be a good Christian without trouble. Amen. Opposition. The devil's going to see to it. You pass out tracts at work, someone's going to get upset. Trouble. You share your beliefs with family. Amen. Someone's going to get upset. Trouble. You share your political views. There's going to be trouble. And I think it's amazing how Fauci, amen, has become the authority in America. He is not my authority. My authority is this Word of God. Amen. He says, wear a mask. I ain't wearing one. He says, take a shot. I ain't taking one. Amen. He is not going to, he's not going to tell me how to run my household. Amen. We don't wear masks up on my back. Unless I'm glad Alabama, you're on the same page as we are. Where'd we go this morning? Cracker Barrel. And it's sign on the outside, wear a mask. Sign on the door, first door, wear the mask. Sign on the second door, wear the mask. And Brother Tom and I just walked in there like you. We ain't got a mask on. Na, 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 na. You know, not one person said anything to us about it.
Amen.
We go up home in our Kroger, wear a mask. We don't wear them. I went to my doctor. I didn't wear a mask. He said, I'm glad you don't have a mask on. We don't wear them here either. Amen. Amen. My doctor told me not to take the vaccine.
Amen.
My doctor did. So there you go. He said, well, my doctor said take it. Well, change doctors. I love you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You tell your... Listen, I can't stand a Democrat. I said, I can't stand a Democrat.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I'm a Democrat. I'd change parties.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't like that, did you? See, you don't like that. You're a Democrat and you're proud of it. Yeah, you're a baby killer.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You're for that.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Camellia is your vice president, or I should say your president.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen. Go ahead, preacher.
You say, well, Trump wasn't the best thing. No, he wasn't. And I don't agree with everything. He's not my savior.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But I do have a Trump tie on.
I got one, too.
Yeah, man. Someone get... You won't find me with a Biden tie on.
Amen, preacher.
I'm just testing you out. You say, listen, I don't care really what you are, but what I'm saying is we are in a mess and it's trouble and we need to make up our mind that we are going to go on anyway. You don't think there's trouble? View your moral views. Say something about sodomy. Say something about transgenders. Amen. And you are going to find trouble. Say something about how pets are preferred above babies. I'm telling you something, I can't stand a cat. Cats are demon possessed. If you have a cat, cat! Shoot it! Get it out of your house! It'll jump on you for no reason! You'll be petting that thing and it'll go, ah! It'll scratch you! It'll cut you! These poor girls. You're all right, girls. You have a cat? Shoot it, lady. It'll help you. Hey, the Filipinos, they eat them. Well, eat it then. I went to the Philippines and they said on the radio, I heard it. They said, it's safe to eat your dogs. I said, man alive, could you imagine saying that in the United States? You may eat your dog. That'd throw you in prison for even saying it here. But why I tell you, you go to the Philippines. You're Filipino, aren't you, sis? I thought you were, yeah. You go to the Philippines, you won't find no cats. Because they're in the Chinese restaurant. Uh-huh. All the cats are Chinese. Uh-huh. Oh, we eat some cats. We make take a teriyaki out of your kitty cat. Oh, so, give us your kitty cat. We want to hear the kitty cat. We're going to put it on your skin. We're going to fry it. Put some teriyaki on it for you. And dogs? You don't see no dog. Very few dogs do you see. And the ones that you do see, they're fattening them up. For one reason. The kill! I think we should have open season on them. But you mention that. You say that to people who have dogs. Oh man, they'll hate you. They'll throw you in jail. Someone said the other day, man, you can kill an eagle and go to prison for it. And kill a baby and not get anything. Get a reward. You mess with a sea turtle or a sea turtle eggs, you are in hot water, my friend. I went to Mexico one year and Humberto Jr. I said, I want to buy some turtle boots. And I went down, I bought some turtle boots off the market down there. And I said, now I can't wear these home. I can't wear them across the border. If I get caught with these turtle boots, hey man, they'll throw me in prison. So he took them across for me, being a Mexican. Hey man, he put dirt all over them and walked over the border. Are you all right, lady? You have some kind of seizure back there? And so, man, do I need to preach to you a little bit, man? Yeah? Yeah? And so, sure enough, I got them turtle boots. I wore them to Connecticut. Amen to Tom Benson Church up there. And I was preaching in a big way in turtle boots. And they had a banquet and I didn't know about it. But there was a couple guys and it was all set up and pranked up. But there was a couple guys that I didn't recognize come in police suits. And they come up there with guns pulled. And they said, who's the preacher here? He's got them turtle boots on. I said, my God, it ain't me. Turtle boots? What are you talking about? And they come to me and threw me on the floor. And I didn't know. Guns are pulled. And they take the boots right off of my feet. And someone starts laughing. I figured it out. Uh-huh. But you want to start trouble. Hey, man, just say something about someone's animal. Hey, there is no such thing as free speech unless you agree with the left. Then you say whatever you want to. Voice your opinions about any of these things to your family or friends, and you'll get the same reaction this lady gave. Amen. They'll want to send you to anger management. I killed deer too, brother. I killed, me and Mark McGahee go over here. He killed four, I killed two. And I tell you, it's a real blessing. Amen. To lay that bead on that deer. And I every time I do, I say, in Jesus' name. Lord, because I shake a lot. And
I can't hardly count money without money just flying everywhere. Because I shake. And I know the chances of me hitting that deer are few on my own. So I pray, dear God, I'm going to fire this bullet. I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm going to squeeze this trigger. And you take this bullet and you just... And you know what he does? He does.
Yeah.
Say, why do you do that meat? We eat it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's good food. Amen. All right. So I think I'll go on anyway in spite of troubles. I think I'm going to go on anyway in spite of temptations. You don't need to look at your watch, preacher. I got this. Amen. All right. In spite of temptations. We all go through temptations. Temptations come to preachers. Am I right, preacher?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Temptations come to every man, every woman, every teenager. And some have fallen and done some wicked things. But remember, the Bible says that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I tell you what you got looking for when you start getting that temptation mode. You got to start looking for that way of escape. Instead of looking for a way to get involved in it deeper, but look for a way to get out of that. You know, temptations may wear on you. Temptations may drag you down. Temptations sometimes may seem too much to bear. And our actions and our attractions and our attitudes need to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of temptations that I've even yielded to. And how ashamed I am when I fall into some trap like that. I think I'll go on anyway. I'm not going to quit because I've fallen short. Let me say, number three, in spite of tears, I'm going to go on anyway. Tears over the unfaithful. Come on, pastors. Tears over the fallen. Tears over the lost. I'm like you, man. I weep at a drop of the hat and drop my own hat. I think it's not manly not to cry. Did I say that right? I don't know if I said that right or not, but I'm telling you, I think you ought to have some tears. You ought to be able to weep over sinners. Weep over friends that you have that you love to see saved. Amen. Weep over them. Weep over your family. And there may be tears. Maybe you've lost your tears this morning. Maybe it's been a while since you've wept. You need to ask God to bring them tears back. Tears are not a sign of weakness. They're a sign of compassion. Not all are tears of sadness. Sometimes there's tears of joy. I'll tell you that song yesterday. Man, that touched my heart, boy. That touched my heart. And I sat there, my hand was on my inside my pocket on my wallet. And I said, Lord, I'd like to help this girl. And I was sitting there just... Then I unbuttoned my flap and had my wallet in my hand. I said, Lord, now this ain't my meeting. I'm not moderating this thing. But Lord, I sure feel like you want me to do something. About that time they quit singing. And that's when I stood up and said, sing it again. And when they did, the Lord gave me liberty. Just throw a few bucks down. It ended up being what, $1,000? I'm glad I obeyed God.
Yeah.
And I wept.
In
spite of tears, I'm going to go on. Let me say, in spite of testing, the Bible says there will be testings in our life. Everyone goes through them. The saved and the lost. The difference is with the Christian, there is someone to go through it with us. I've been to funerals where there was no hope whatsoever. A friend of mine graduated together in 1969. He was a good friend, one of my drinking buddies. Got a brain tumor, brain cancer, died in about 4 days. They asked me to do the funeral. Boy, I tell you, I never seen anything so sad. I know this boy went to hell. There's no way that boy went to heaven. And there's no way I could stand behind a pulpit and tell the people he did. Because I know very good and well he didn't. And the family was all tore up. His wife was all tore up. You say, what'd you do? I gave him the gospel. And I gave an invitation.
And four people raised their hand. They needed to be saved. And I don't know if they did. I told them how to. And I hope that they did. But that was a sad, sad thing for someone that you know personally that dies and goes to hell. But I thank God for the funerals that I've had of people that are saved. Just a year ago, in February, my treasure, 54 years old, was pronounced with pancreatic cancer. Now, I'm going to tell you, pancreatic cancer will kill you in a heartbeat. He lived 1 year with pancreatic cancer. I saw him go from a robust man down to where the last day I saw him was Thursday before he died. And I put my arms around him and prayed with him. And he said, "Brother, you know I'm going to heaven." I said, "Yep. Tell my mom hello when you get there." Amen. And we had tears of joy that he knew where he was going.
Amen.
Amen. Mrs. Jones passed away, Brother Jones' wife. I preached that funeral. And to see Brother Jones as he rejoiced and amen. And yeah, there was tears, but there were more tears of happiness that he didn't lose her. Because he knows where she's at.
Amen.
We don't bury Christians. We plant them. Because we know they're going to come up out of that grave. I'm thankful, Lord. Let me tell you something. There is testings that we all have to go through. I've walked with folks, and so has you preachers, people with cancer, people with disease, people who've been involved in wrecks, heart problems. And you know, the ones that are saved never blame God. That man with pancreatic cancer, we went to him, and four of us men did, and we gathered around him. I said, "All right, Brother Chuck, we're not gonna preach to you. We want you to preach to us." And he talked to us for about 5 or 6 minutes on how he cared for others who were sick in our church. Never mentioned his illness. He asked, how's Claudia doing? How's this one doing?" I preached a message right after that. That was on a Tuesday. On Wednesday, I preached a message on lessons I learned from Chuck.
Amen.
You can learn things from people that are right with God when they're about to die. But in spite of tears, you know what? In spite of testings, I'm just going to go on. I told you the other day, I plan on 5 years. That'll make 50 years in the ministry. I'm going to turn it over to my associate. But I'm not retirement. There is no retirement to us, preacher. I believe he's the oldest preacher here, and I'm number two. And there's no place for retirement. He's preaching every day. And you know, when I finally turn this thing over, man, I want to hit the road some again and come back down to Alabama, do some preaching around.
Amen.
Because I'm still in good health.
Yes, sir, preacher.
I still got a little unction. Every now and then I feel it. And I'm not going to just throw in the towel and quit and go, well, I ain't going to go fishing, go golfing. I'm going to be out.
I'll
tell you what's been a blessing this week was to come back and see some folks after many years who are still in it.
Amen.
Who haven't quit.
Amen.
This brother here, I remember him as just a teenage boy. Brother Smith, remember him as a teenage boy. Preached these boys when they were teenagers. Well, who thought they'd be anything? Especially you. But look what God can do. Brother Andy is a little young man. Where did he go? Oh, he's back here. Brother Andy is a young man. Just running around up there. This brother over in Connecticut did sound over there. Did a good job there. Brother Turner, man, we've been through it, haven't we, Brother Turner? We've been got a few years under our belt. Brother Coley and I preached a meeting there at Pilkington's, and where he's pastoring, he had a tent he put up. God Save America or something like that. We preached together. My family sang. These singers, I'm done. I still got 2 minutes. My family sang. Some of you remember our family. Has CD. We did 18 different CDs. Had music out there. We sang together. And I see these families get up here and sing. Boy, it reminds me of those days.
Amen. Amen.
We sang at Glory Land Baptist Church during one of their camp meetings, and we sang Bowed on My Knees and Cried Holy. For 45 minutes, we sang one song. People were running. God dropped down out of heaven. We was at Brother Wood's church one time, David Wood. Our family sang. I got up and preached on Calvary. About halfway through that message, the Holy Ghost sent a wind through that place to where my mouth stopped. Danny Hall, he came. He was laying there. What in the world's going on? I couldn't even say nothing. And for about a 5 or 10 minute stretch, it's just God. The wind of heaven that blew in that place. Oh, I remember those days. I miss them. That's why when I get done pastoring, I want to see other places again. I love the Lord. And you know what? Even in my old age and your old age, preacher, and 70 doesn't seem old, does it? And you're 73 or 4? 4? Does that seem real old to you? You look old, but it... It was your wife's probably 60. Yeah, you robbed the cradle. I know you did. But I tell you what, in all that... Did somebody say my time's up? You're hungry, aren't you, Cole? I'm done with this. Even with that, I'm just going to go on anyway. How many of you... I know, I'm done. But how many of you would like to come forward and say, I think I'll just go on anyway? Think I'll just go on anyway. Gonna do it. We don't know what's ahead of us, friend. We don't know where this might go. But you better make up your mind. I'm just gonna go on anyway.